Today on Real Radio.
Your motive for giving in any area, sweat, money, blood, effort, it doesn't matter what it is. So don't think dollars. Are you with me, everybody? Don't think dollars.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the opening verses of chapter 8, which cites an example of generosity among believers at the time. Now, of course, both the Old and New Testaments are full of passages that speak of the topic of money and the godly ways in which it's all to be handled. This is what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses in his lesson called Giving What's Been Given.
Listen. We either look to God to provide for us, and if we don't believe in God, then we look to government to provide for us. If we look to God for our welfare, then we are believers. If we look to government for our welfare, then listen, government is our God. You say, I don't know if I believe that. It's okay, think about it. God asks of us to give to Him for what He wants to accomplish. What does government do? They don't ask you to give to them for what they want to accomplish. What do, ladies and gentlemen? They take. One is liberty, one is tyranny. One is joy from the heart. One, well, it's no different than what a guy does in some back alley behind the liquor store. Some guy might come up there, pull out a gun, and rob you. Take what you have. The only other person that can do that on the planet is government. You ever think of that? They take what you have. God says, I'm not going to take anything that you have. He doesn't want it. So if you're sitting here today saying, oh my goodness, honey, we've got to find a new church for the next couple of months because I don't want to come back and hear this. Oh, listen, keep your wallet in your pants. Keep it there. Listen, God doesn't want your coins. He doesn't want it. Go give it to the government. Go give it to, go do something. Give it, keep it for yourself. God wants it from a heart of joy. This is a big deal to God. The background's important. Y'all need to remember this. During Paul's day, and the reason for the authorship of this is that the church in Jerusalem was starving to death. Now remember this, church. The Jerusalem church is where the church was born. Do you remember that? The first Christian church in the world was the church at Pentecost in Jerusalem. Christianity started in Jerusalem. And the church, watch, we know from the book of Acts and church history, the church preached the gospel faithfully. What happened? People got saved every day. One day, 5,000 people got saved. Another day, 3,000 people got saved. I know people don't like big churches, but within a few days, the church had grown to nearly 10,000 people by the end of the week. Think of that. And the need was huge. And listen, nowhere in the Bible did God say to do this, but out of a really sweet, generous heart, they were just all moved with this incredible gathering of believers. Many of them were in need, watch, because as they were believers also following Jesus, many of them were ostracized from their employment, from their jobs. Many of them were disenfranchised from their families because they left Judaism to be a Christian. And listen, the Roman Empire hated Christianity. Much of the Christian world at the time of Christ that came to believe in Jesus were slaves. Did you know that? Of the empire. So the church was traditionally poor, but whatever some people had, the Bible says there in Acts chapter 5, they all sold what they had and poured everything into a common pot, and people pulled from it such as they needed. Doesn't that sound sweet? It sounds sweet. God never told them to do it. Frankly, I don't think they were supposed to do that. What happened? They wound up in a short order of time being completely broke. That form of socialism doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen. They had no money, the church was huge, and the believers were starving, coupled with a very, very bad famine. No rain had fallen in that part of the region of the Middle East. Israel was in great perilous conditions. The crops had failed, no water, no rain, kind of like Southern California, no water, no rain, and the crops had failed, and famine was sweeping that region of the Roman Empire. So now the church in Jerusalem is in great need. So Paul the Apostle had been sending out notes and memos to the churches of Asia Minor and the churches of Macedonia. that had escaped the difficulties of famine, though they had their own troubles. And he said, will you guys pray about helping the church in Jerusalem? And do you know what they started doing, everybody? Those churches started put a little bit here and a little bit there, and they began to help out the church in Jerusalem. They were sending support and money to the church at Jerusalem. Except one church wasn't doing it. I'll give you one guess as to what church wasn't participating. The church at Corinth. Isn't it interesting that the church at Corinth was considered to be, if not one of the wealthiest churches at the time of this perilous drought in these times of persecution? The church in Corinth was wealthy, and yet they were not giving. Did you know that the United States of America is the most generous nation to humanitarian effort, both domestic and internationally, every year? Did you know that? Even now, still. But did you know, when you begin to study the details of that, even though, for example, Angelina Jolie may write a check for $1 million to give to somebody, and that makes it on the front page of world news, did you know who gives the most to relief efforts around the world and those who act on compassion more than anyone else? I'm curious, do you know who? When you break it down, it's the middle and lower class of America. Did you know that? The middle and lower class of America give most compared to those who are rich. And you might say, well, you know what? And you offer up your excuse. No, the truth of the matter is this. A survey and research has proven this to be so. Most middle class people have come from poverty to become middle class. They know what it's like to be poor. Most people who are poor, in fact, they're the most generous out of the two camps. The poor give the most. You say, wait a minute. How can they give the most? Listen, I didn't say they gave more. I said they gave the most. If you have something to give, God bless you for giving. You may have given more. But poor people, their heartstrings are so plucked upon when someone else is in need that they give the most. Though they may give $1.50, they only have $1.75 to their name. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you have $1 million and you give somebody $1,000, you've given a lot. But you haven't given the most. The person who might have $1,000 and gives $900 to somebody in need or to some effort, they've given not more. What have they given? The most. How does all this factor into our Christianity? And where does America's value come to do such things? It's simple. It's the Judeo-Christian worldview that this nation has been brought up on. God, our God, is a giving God. Our God gives. And I'm going to ask you in the course of these next month or so, get your mind to get freed up from thinking dollar bills. Don't think that small anymore. A dollar bill is something that you have among a grand repertoire of things that God has given you to be a servant of the Most High God. Your smile, your caring touch, your note, your feet, your actions, your involvement, your engagement far exceeds a dollar. Jesus Christ didn't die to get a dollar. Jesus Christ died to make you a new man. He didn't die to make dead men or bad men good. He died to make dead men live. So this morning, there may be people in this church who are worth a lot of money and people who don't have much money. Guess what? Before the throne of God, it all comes down to not what you have, but what you give away. And all of a sudden, all of us now are brought into the same economic structure before the throne of God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? Think about it. You ever fill out an application and it says, how much do you make annually? God will never ask you that. God says, no, listen, the stewardship over what you have is between you and I, God says. It's what you do with it. Our God is a giving God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is God's grace. It's God's gift. And that's a powerful thing. Listen, the grace of God is the goodness of God. And this all must be laid down as a foundation to where we're going. We're almost there. Psalm 50, beginning at verse 10. Psalm 50, verse 10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine. God is speaking. and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Verse 12, don't you love this? If I were hungry, would I not tell you? Or would I, think of it. Am I going to come begging at your door? For the world is mine in all its fullness. God says, if I'm hungry, I'm not going to come tell you about it. Well, God doesn't get hungry. Isn't this a sweet statement? God is saying, I don't need anything. So relax, everybody. If you're concerned, oh no, mammon, the eternal God, mammon, the eternal, take a deep breath and relax. God doesn't want it. He doesn't need it. And this is beautiful. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, so listen, they're able to give. He's not talking about the amount. He's just saying they were able. Yes. And beyond their ability, they were freely willing. They're hilarious about it, joyful about it, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And listen, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, that's key, and then to us by the will of God. Verse 6, so we urge Titus, this is his FedEx, his UPS man, that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, now look, he's talking to the Corinthians. This is so cool. Paul is saying, hey, you guys abound in everything. Look around, you guys abound in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us. See that you abound in this grace also. He's saying you abound in everything, so why don't you start abounding and giving to the church's assistance in Jerusalem with the churches of Macedonia. Verse 8, I speak not by commandments. I'm not going to force you, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. You guys, keep the verse on the screen. This is awesome. This is Papa Paul speaking, the aged apostle. He's saying, Corinthians, dude, you guys rock. You cover it. You got it, man. You're blessed, man. And you guys are really into the gifts. There's no gift you don't have. And you know how the church in Jerusalem's hurting? And how all those poor churches of Macedonia got together and they've been helping the church in Jerusalem? And I'm boasting about those churches helping? I would sure like to be able to boast about you. You hear that? He's not forcing them. He's not coercing them. He's really laying on the opportunity to witness. He's saying to them, why don't you join this effort? In other words, he's saying, let your light shine, guys. You shine everywhere else. Let your light shine in this. So let's keep going. I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For verse 9, for you know, this should be the premise, the foundation for our actions as a church. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Keep verse 9 ahead of you in this entire study. Giving what's been given, number one, is this. What do we learn? We learn this, that giving is an act of grace. Will you mark that down? Verse 1 teaches us that as a Christian, I'm to be giving because my God has been giving to me, very giving to me, and giving, being like God, is an act of grace. The amazing thing is God has invited you and I, Christian, to grace others with him. God wants to use the Christian in this act of grace. So look at verse 1. Moreover, he says, brethren, we make known to you the grace. The word definite article the is the favor, benefit, the good welfare, the benevolence of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul is saying to them, hey guys, the Macedonian believers, yeah, they got their struggles, but they're blessed. They're blessed by God, it's obvious. And I'm asking you, he says, to consider that grace. God has graced the Macedonian church. Christian, listen to me right now this morning. And I got to be very careful. Your motive for giving in any area, sweat, money, blood, effort, it doesn't matter what it is. So don't think dollars. Are you with me, everybody? Don't think dollars. By the way, can we just settle this right now, lest I forget? This church, the staff of this church, the board of this church operates under a very cool principle. I've shared this with you before in other messages. We refuse to look at what is an expense here to do something as in dollars. We are not allowed to talk that way. God showed us from the very beginning when we used to have a Folgers coffee can on the table for donuts and coffee as the home fellowship began. It was never a dollar. We didn't have dollars to spend. Do you know what they are? Anybody know? Thank you. You got it. They're tools. When you start looking, if you're involved in ministry, or for that matter, as a Christian, which we all are involved in ministry, if you start thinking that, oh, look, I've got $500 in my pocket, the Christian should never think like that. The Christian should always think, I've got 500 tools in my pocket. And that should stop your way of thinking for a moment and reconsider what in the world you're looking at or thinking about buying. I'm taking tools that God has put in my work belt. To build what? You see this? Watch the wisdom to this. Again, God gave us this. You can't build a man's kingdom with God's tools. You can only build a man's kingdom with dollars. You see what I'm saying? Did you know that our nation's leaders way back when said that all of our coinage in America needs to be embossed within God we trust, because if God prospered us, we would need to keep a level head about it? Did you know that? In God we trust. I don't know if that's true as a nation today, but it's true as this church goes. And it's true as you as a Christian, that we are to trust God. So this is vitally important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you can write this verse down. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is initially speaking about the Jerusalem issue. And it relates to verse 1 of chapter 8 here. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that is, as God works in your life individually, that there be no collections when I come. This is cool. Paul didn't want any offerings taken when he would come and preach. And when I come, whomever you approve of by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. Paul is saying, Christian, meet the needs to further the gospel, and to those that are in need among the household of faith, you will be acting out God's grace in your life. Giving is an act of God's grace. Christians, we are to be gracing others because that's what God has done to us. And there's nobody in the household of faith in this church that must or should consider themselves so poor they cannot give. We'll come to more studies on this, but nobody was as poor as the widow at the temple when Jesus saw her put in her two widow's mites, or two quarters of a penny. And Jesus said, did you see that woman? Did you see her? Can you imagine the disciples are looking, what, that poor lady right there? Jesus said, that woman gave more than anyone else. If you're in the kingdom of God and you've got two bananas, God, don't be surprised if God says, hey, why don't you pray about giving one of those bananas to somebody who doesn't have anything at all? And all of a sudden we get down to this, but I want my bananas. See, I mentioned bananas, but you can insert tools for dollars there. If you and I were on some deserted island and there was no bank and there was no money, I mean, honestly, we could have $50 million in our pockets, but if there's no store, and we're with Tom Hanks with that stupid volleyball, and we're on that island, and listen, what becomes the commodity? Whoever's got the most bananas and coconuts is rich. Are you with me? And then God would say to somebody on that island, now you need to pray about giving up some of your bananas and your coconuts. Oh no, it's okay, God. Here's $50 million. God would say, I don't need the money, but the guy next to you, he's hungry. Give him your coconut. You see how this works on our hearts? It's what we esteem as valuable becomes the idol. And a Christian ought not to have tools or dollars or resources or anything else as an idol. It's not ours. Giving is an act of grace, and our God is a gracious God. Point number two in verses 2 to 3 is giving what's been given means this, that giving is an act of sacrifice. The amazing thing about this is that God has invited you and I to give with him, to join with him in giving, and it's a sacrifice. Verses 2 and 3 says that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, the churches of Macedonia, and their deep poverty, they were poor, abounded in the riches of their liberality. See, what in the world does that mean? It sounds like a legal statement, and it almost is. Paul is saying something absolutely brilliant. Church, do I have your attention? Are you guys bored? Are you okay with this? Are you here? He's saying this. He's saying, listen, here's the deal. Forget about the amount. This is what they had. They had realized that God has been so good to them in their life that they began thinking that what they had was ready to be given away out of their liberality. So how could they be liberal in giving? How could they give so much when they didn't have so much? It's because the ratio value given to God is always 100% when you're giving it with the right heart. For example, if the offering went by today and you put your nickel in there, and you're like this, oh man, here it comes. Oh brother, here it comes. Get something out. Get some money out. Just put something in. I don't look like Scrooge or anything here. Here it comes, and tink, and there it goes in, and then it just goes by. Listen, do you know what God says to you today? God says, you didn't give a nickel. You say, no, I gave a nickel. No, you didn't give a nickel.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given, a study taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's actually a mini-series that addresses what some view as a sensitive but all-important topic, that of money and the godly ways in which it's to be handled. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just so that you know, if you've taken a particular interest in this topic, Pastor Jack's treatment of money, finances, resources, etc., please know that you're not alone. Here at the Ministry of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs, we've received letter after phone call after email about this often sensitive and really quite misunderstood but important issue of money. And as Pastor Jack has already said, all we really want to do is see it all through the lens of God's written word. Well, this mini-series we've been hearing here on Real Radio is also available for you on DVD. It's the 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Now, a number of friends of the ministry have reported back saying, it's quite the valuable and biblically-based treatment of this topic, and it's ideal for sharing with friends, family, and their local church. And that's why we're making it available just for you. So, our offer, here it is. For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Again, for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of what we've been airing here on Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact can easily be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.